From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Sam Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 95, Murder, She Robot.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange Homegrown Hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
If you like Deemable Tech, you should get involved. Help us decide which news stories we talk about each week on the podcast. Visit our Reddit page at deemable.com/reddit. There you can vote stories up or down or submit stories of your own.
And help support Deemable Tech, go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a review. If you like us. If you don't, you know, keep it to yourself. But if you like us, you know, the more reviews we get, the more people will find Deemable Tech. And likewise, the less reviews we get, the less shows we'll do. We are still in the lead against Earthang Show.
Oh.
I want to stay that way, guys.
Yep.
You know, help us out. Help it. Make it happen. We got a great review from Yo Mama 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That sounds legit.
Yeah, my favorite.
Yo Mama said, I honestly like it a lot. It's funny, informative, and altogether interesting.
Oh,
so
wow.
Thank you, Yo Mama 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Great
name. Is the best username ever.
My ego balloon is inflating.
Yep. So go do it. Go to iTunes. Go to Stitcher. Leave us a review. We love it. We love reviews, and we love five-star reviews, too.
Mm.
All right, but now let's take a look at this week's rundown. Yahoo announced a new app this week called Live Text.
Yay.
With the new app, you can chat with people you know while you look at them on a live video.
Mm.
So what makes Live Text different than any other video chat app out there like Skype or FaceTime or Google Hangouts is that you cannot hear the person on the other end.
What?
Well, don't worry. It's not your phone. Yahoo designed it like that for some reason. We tried it out, and yes, it is an actual text chat service.
Yeah.
So you send people text messages like every other text message service out there like Facebook and the other ones that I don't use.
Yeah.
Except you're looking at the person that you're talking to.
But not hearing them.
But you can't hear them.
No.
Which was very confusing, especially because I found that
you see someone, you want to talk to them.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You know, I was talking to you, Tom, and the funny part was every time I started typing, of course, the camera moves because the phone is moving, which was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that a really great way to use it is to use voice to text.
Yeah,
so you're literally talking to the person, but they can't hear you. guys, why? What is this for?
I don't really understand. And it's strange because the video, they put the text over the video.
Yes. So you're looking through the text at the person.
Yes. But you're never looking at the video because you're always looking down to see what you're typing.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And the keyboard is covering like half of the screen.
Exactly.
Like you've got a keyboard kind of obscuring like the bottom half of Ray or Sean's face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I always found. Like you're looking at the person from the nose up.
And it's not usually a good shot because the person's not really focusing on framing their face. They're usually like trying to type. So you're kind of looking up their nose anyways.
Exactly.
Now, there is something that is kind of cool about it is that you, at least on iPhones, you can change which camera it uses. So I guess if you're out somewhere and you want to show somebody something that's going on while being discreet, this could be some way of doing that.
Oh, you know, me and Amber, my wife, we do use FaceTime a lot when I'm at the grocery store. And she'll tell me to get some candy or something and it won't be in stock. So I'll pull out my phone and bring her up on FaceTime and be like, okay, well, here's what they've got, and I'll hold the camera for her.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, that one over to the right, grab that. You know, so
yeah, I can see that. This for that.
Yeah, and it always has been kind of awkward with FaceTime because it's loud.
Sure,
and the person's like, ah, blah, blah. And, you know, person down the aisle is like, what are you doing over there?
That's true.
So I guess that, you know, if you're kind of trying to be discreet, but you need video.
I heard it suggested, like, you know, oh, you could use this, like, if you're a student and you're in class and you want to do video, but you don't want to. But I still think you're going to be, like, making faces at each other and cracking each other up. Chances are, I don't think
you're going to get caught.
Yeah,
you're going to get caught. I mean, you're supposed to be paying attention to the class.
Clearly, you are doing something weird.
Yeah.
I mean, talking in code here, but I could see a purpose for it. that is similar to the nefarious purpose of Snapchat.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, sure. Yeah.
I could see it being used for that. But you know, like you're trying to do that in quiet.
Hold.
If you can't figure out what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. You're innocent and I won't I won't offend thy virgin ears. But there is one thing that happened recently that drove me insane.
Hmm.
My little guy, my youngest, he's like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
He said bye-bye.
Oh.
I didn't get to hear it.
Oh.
Amber was on the other line, on the other side, and he's waving bye-bye and saying bye-bye for the first time. I missed it because the stupid thing doesn't have audio. So I'm done. And I think this is the strangest app, and I don't know why Yahoo's doing it. But you do have to have a Yahoo account to use
yes,
it.
Yes, you do.
So Yahoo may get more accounts out of it.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Well, Windows 10 has been out for a week now, and we've learned a few more things about it.
Ooh.
Among other things, it turns out that Windows 10 collects a lot more data on its users than previous versions of the operating system did.
Mm. Oh.
The main reason for this appears to be Cortana. The nifty digital personal assistant needs a lot more personal data to power her search results and to do better voice recognition.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Of course, that isn't to say that Microsoft isn't just taking a page from Google and Facebook here.
Sure.
You know.
I always thought that Cortana was up to no good.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to stop Windows 10 from gathering up your contacts, calendar details, text and touch input, location data, and a whole lot more information, and sending it off into the Microsoft cloud, you will need to let Windows know. And this can be done at installation. You'll need to select custom settings instead of express, and then you will see the personalized settings for what data Windows will collect on you. If you've already installed Windows 10, you can also limit the data it is phoning home by signing in with a strictly local account rather than a Microsoft one.
Oh. So again, you have to opt out, not opt in.
Exactly.
And you're not told blatantly that this is happening.
Exactly.
Excellent.
And
that's definitely taking a page out of the Facebook playbook.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's just the first step. Cortana herself also has settings that you would need to adjust in her app. Now, needless to say, once you do all this, you will probably find that Cortana is a lot less functional because you just disabled all of her stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's another surprise in store for those upgrading to Windows 10. You know, Windows Media Center, the Microsoft free media player that's been in there for years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It allows DVD playback in Windows. Well, when you upgrade to Windows 10, it will probably disappear.
Oh, lovely.
Really?
Yeah. Its replacement is an app in the Windows Store called Windows DVD Player, but this new app is not free. It actually costs you $14.99.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of too bad, considering that it actually, the new app doesn't do any of the cool stuff Media Center used to do, like DVR, image slideshows, and media organization.
Yeah.
DVD playback isn't actually the only formerly free feature that's holding it out its hand for your credit card on Windows 10, either. Minesweeper and Solitaire, which are those old Windows standbys, are now full of intrusive ads unless you pay a $9.99 annual fee.
Great.
Yeah. Not so great, really.
They knew where to get the money. Yeah. Let's make the operating system free, but let's make them pay for Solitaire and Minesweeper.
Yes!
Yes! Right.
We figured it out, people.
Now, important point of clarification here. You can play back DVDs using Windows 10. You just need other software. For instance, VLC Media Player is a free program that you can download for free that plays DVDs, and it works with Windows 10. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It is a great program. You can basically play anything with VLC.
It's not super user-friendly, though. And for the average consumer out there, if I buy something with a DVD player in it, I expect it to be able to play DVDs.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know, and that is really frustrating. Someone on our Facebook page, Eric, pointed out, puts DVD in iMac, enjoys Back to the Future for the millionth time, which that's fair. I mean, you can still play DVDs on Mac. I can't because I don't have a DVD on my Mac.
I was about to say that many computers now, they're getting rid of the optical drives.
Yeah.
So
it is something that probably fewer and fewer people will
use. Yeah, it almost kind of makes sense that they would get rid of it, but why not just keep it in there?
Like, well, it's the licensing fees. I mean, they're paying the licensing fees to have that playback capability.
Mm-hmm.
But even on my MacBook Pro, which does not have a DVD player, if I plug an external, which I've got an external, it will play it.
It's still got something.
Yeah. So, when's the last time anybody played a DVD, though? I mean, I know Eric did the other day. But
I don't even
know where my DVDs are. I've ripped them all to disc. Everything else is Netflix or Hulu.
I mean, I tend to watch Blu-rays when I do watch something like a movie or something like that. But yeah. I'm mostly watching Hulu or Netflix.
I'm
or
really not
some
the target
streaming.
Either because I don't even own a television set. So
oh, yeah,
maybe that's
true.
Why.
Yeah, that's
your problem.
Well, the Daily Dot is reporting that a Kentucky man blew a drone out of the sky with a shotgun.
Woo! Whoa.
He claims that his kids told him the drone had passed over the house multiple times before, and he claims that the drone dropped down to close to the ground and was hovering over his back deck where his 16-year-old daughter was sunbathing, presumably in a swimsuit. He had enough at that point and fired duck shot, knocking it out of the sky. When the drone pilot and three of his buddies showed up to collect the drone, the father told them, if you cross that sidewalk onto my property, there's going to be another shooting.
Oh, snap.
So instead of doing that, they waited for the police to arrive, and the father was then arrested and charged with wanton endangerment and criminal mischief relating to his firing the gun. Now, before you come to the dad's defense like I did, because if there was a drone in my backyard looking at my daughter, you might get the wrong end of a shotgun, too. The drone owner has since released video to WDRB in Louisville showing the drone was almost 200 feet off the ground and it was moving when it was shot.
Oops.
So the dad's story doesn't quite hold water, at least according to the drone operator and the video that they have. The drone operator says that he was heading to his friend's house with the drone to shoot pictures for him at his request and was only passing over the house when this all occurred. So I get the point that, you know, it's my property, it's over my property, I have the right to defend my airspace, I guess.
Yeah, well, actually, that's not true.
Yeah?
Your property does not extend infinitely up into the sky. You don't own the air over your house. You don't.
Okay.
Now, this is something you can get into a whole legal discussion
sure,
over,
sure.
But you don't own the airspace over your house, quote unquote, generally speaking. Now, obviously, if there's a drone taking pictures of your family, you know, that's a little scary and people are going to want to take action. I feel, actually, when I hear the story, I'm like, probably there's some there's issues on both sides here.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, definitely.
These guys need to be more respectful of the private properties they were flying over. And this dude probably needs to not discharge a shotgun into the sky just randomly.
Yeah, I think the fact that it was 200 feet off the ground, too, I could see that being mildly annoying. But we're talking 20 stories, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty far up there. I mean, the drone is like a dot if you're looking that high. And obviously, if he, you know, shot a slug, he could easily take, like, destroy it. But the duck shot probably just, you know, knocked a propeller out and it crashed. So I guess the issue here is, you're saying that there is no right to defend the airspace.
That's my understanding. I'm not a lawyer, but yeah, like you don't. If there's not a huge like column extending from your house up into the sky.
Yeah. Well, lawyers familiar with the case have said that they believe that this is going to be dismissed because he had some right to defend that. But now that this evidence has come out, they're a little bit more skeptical as to whether he was just, you know, target practicing on this drone.
I'm sure we will see a lot more of these kinds of cases.
There was another case out in California on a farm where the farm owner's son was flying a drone near the edge of their property, and the neighbor shot it down, and they actually lost that case. The farm owner's son won the case because they ended up taking it to court because it was literally over the property of the neighbors, not the, well, neighbors.
It was their property.
Right. It was on his property, not the neighbor's property. Yeah. So when he shot it out of the sky, he was violating their property rights. So, yep. I'm sure there'll be more, though. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, folks, you shouldn't shoot guns into the air.
Yeah.
That's a bad
idea.
And
drone responsibly, though.
Drone responsibly.
Yeah.
That's also a good idea.
Yeah, there's two sides to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, droning, I guess, can you call it droning?
We'll go with that.
Sure, droning. It's such a gray area right now.
I mean, to do it commercially,
you basically can't,
right.
You know, but they do. I mean, there's a bunch of companies that have built their businesses around drone and drone cameras and surveillance and all that. But even as a hobbyist, there's really a gray area about what you can and can't do. So in this case, like I said, I feel like the dad's going to win this because he's not a drone, basically.
Yeah.
There's a lot of prejudice against drones.
And that's true. That's fair.
A lot of fear. I mean, it's like the Google Glass thing, how there were all these laws passed before Google Glass even became a marketable product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still not a marketable product, but a consumer-grade product.
I gotcha.
Oh, hey, and speaking of Google, do you guys remember October 2014?
Oh, yeah.
That was a good month.
It was a good month.
It's always great weather here in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I went to a Halloween party dressed as Kermit the Frog.
What?
That's
really?
Not true.
I wore my banana costume.
Oh.
Yeah.
Every year.
Back in October 2014.
Every month.
over in Spain, not here in Jacksonville, Spain decided to impose a levy on Google for using snippets of Spanish news articles and linking to news articles in Google News. Google responded by almost immediately removing all Spanish news outlets from Google News.
Of course.
Definitely. A report commissioned by the Spanish Association of Publishers of Periodicals. I'm not even going to try to say the Spanish version of that.
I thought you were
going to
say the Spanish name.
I cannot even try that. Can you try it?
Asociación Española de Editoriales de Publicaciones Periódicas.
That was perfect.
Periódicas.
That sounded impressive to me as a complete non-Spanish speaker.
Tell me how bad I just butchered that, please, if there's any Spanish-speaking audience members. I think we have an audience member in Spain.
Well, hey.
Or a couple.
Maybe they can let us know what they think about this.
Send us an audio clip to feedback@deemable.com.
Let us know
pronouncing it correctly and tell us how bad I just butchered that.
And tell us what you think of the story.
Exactly. Of course. This report came out last week showing that Spain's little experiment is working for no one. The study showed that in the short term, the law will cost publishers about 10 million euros or about $10.9 million. The cost will fall especially on smaller news outlets who disproportionately are getting less traffic since Google News went dark in Spain.
Yeah, this is like the third time a country in Europe has tried this. I think it's Belgium and Germany also did this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They didn't, but they didn't pull the trigger.
They
like,
didn't.
They threatened
well, no,
to do
Germany
it.
Did. Germany
did. Did. Did they?
And the thing was, in Belgium and Germany both, it was opt in.
Mm.
The publishers chose to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. In Spain, didn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Just cut them off.
Period. You can't use any Spanish publications unless you pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Germany tried it. It failed miserably. They gave Google a free license.
Hmm.
So if you were to start an aggregate news site in Germany, mm-hmm. you would have to pay for it. Hmm. You would have to pay for that content, which is so terrible, I personally believe. Which basically gives Google an edge over everybody else who could do anything in Germany because they gave them a free license. Because what happened is immediately after, just like what happened in Spain, immediately afterwards, all the traffic went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my sound of it plummeting. I don't know why I blew raspberries. But it's like a newsstand.
Mm-hmm.
All that Google News is a newsstand where you can peruse the news, pick the stories that you want to read, and then go to those pages and read them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, 100, 200 words, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the article.
It's basically a search engine for news articles.
Right.
It's the same thing. If you search for something else on just regular Google search, it would show you about the same amount of words
exactly.
from that website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing that is bad is one of the things that the report showed was that the biggest problem with what was happening is that the large news sites didn't see an impact as much as the smaller news sites because you search for a topical event and it shows all of them in equal weight.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's going to give, like, to use American terms, you know, CNN's going to have higher ranking than, like, WJCT's news story about the same story.
Yeah.
But they're there. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, oh, I've already read that CNN article. Let me read this one from WJCT.
Right.
Which means we would get the attention that otherwise, you know, someone's just going to go to CNN and look for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know any Spanish news outlets that I could have used as a comparison. But
yeah.
And that's really bad for freedom of press. You know, being on that same level platform is really good because it lets a variety of voices come out into the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got a little tech gadget news.
Ooh.
Fujifilm has announced a new camera called the X-T1 IR.
Ooh, that is a great name.
Yeah. Well, the X-T1 was a very popular camera they've had for a while.
Oh, okay.
So the IR is the new version.
Hmm.
The X-T1 IR boasts a 16-megapixel sensor, high-speed autofocus, and Wi-Fi connectivity. Oh, yeah. And according to a new Wired report, it may be able to see through some clothes.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. The IR in X-T1 IR stands for infrared. Infrared photography allows would-be shutterbugs to capture some really trippy and dreamlike images, and it can help specialists like crime scene techs to locate blood spatter.
Yeah.
And it can also allow pervs with cameras to get an eyeful, given the right conditions. Specifically, the clothing question would have to be pretty thin in the first place for these cameras to be able to see through it. Hope. that was a side disappointment?
Well, just a disappointment in these people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. You feel like it should be a more powerful camera.
No. The exact opposite.
And this hasn't even happened yet, but you're predicting that these people will exist.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because there are perverts in the world.
Of course. I mean, isn't this every, dweeb in high school's dream?
This is so bad because, most people, what's it going to have, like an extra IR on the name? No one's going to know the difference between it and a regular camera.
That's the question. In the Wired article, they joke that it should be painted like bright green or something so that you see it coming.
So you know.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
here comes the IR camera.
Mm.
The only good news about
it should be attached to a drone, is what you're saying.
Attached to a drone. No,
it only sells if it's attached to a drone.
No, thank you.
Oh my God.
It's going to happen. Watch. Yeah. Next year, we'll be talking about the X-T1 IR drone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the cameras at least start at $1,700. So you've got to be a fairly well off perv to afford them at the moment.
When are they going on sale?
In October.
October.
Wow. So hide your kids.
All right. I will save up my money now. No. Well, speaking of things that are excessive and a lot of people can't afford them, Macs are in the news. Hey, hey.
There you go.
Wired is reporting that the first firmware worm for Mac has been developed.
Oh, boy.
The worm dubbed ThunderStrike 2.
They've gotten good at naming these things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty impressive. It is a proof of concept. The original ThunderStrike did the same thing, but you had to have physical access to the computer. This worm can spread from Mac to Mac from Apple to Apple. The worm spreads from Apple to Apple.
Oh.
It can spread from Apple to Apple without it needing to be networked.
Nice.
Even air-gapped Apple computers would be vulnerable to the attack.
Really?
Since it is a firmware worm, the processor chip would have to be reflashed to eliminate the worm.
Oh.
And since these are Macs that we're talking about, that basically means they would be thrown away because who can work on a Mac? Am I right?
Totally.
I mean, I can. Me and like a half a dozen other people in the country.
In the world.
That don't work for Apple.
That's right.
Fortunately, the worm was created by hackers who are discussing their findings at the Black Hat Conference this week in Las Vegas. So manufacturers like Apple will be able to use their research to improve the security of firmware.
Okay, so, that's good.
Yeah, basically, air-gapped, that might be a little bit of a stretch because usually when you're talking about an air-gapped computer, you're talking about one that's literally never touched anything.
Mm-hmm.
You could literally be talking about a computer that's never touched the internet, but you put a thumb drive in.
Right, yeah, right.
That would transfer, boom, that Mac's infected.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hopefully that never hits the wild because I don't want to have to disassemble my Mac.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do it, but I don't want to do it.
It'll turn that pretty little $2,000 computer
I wish it was
you
that
got
cheap.
Right there.
It's good that researchers are finding and publishing these vulnerabilities.
Sure.
As we've seen in the past few months and past year or two, government organizations and corporations know about these vulnerabilities and they, hold them to themselves and sell them or use them for nefarious purposes.
Well, and Wired goes into this in very extensive detail about the worm, but apparently what the researchers found is that the same vulnerabilities that exist for PCs for firmware exist on Macs, which isn't shocking since they are using Intel processors now. I mean, that's going to happen.
Go figure. Well, our next story is something of an unfolding saga. So there may be more to this, but here's what we know so far.
Okay.
A year ago, a team of Canadian researchers created a small robot, which they dubbed Hitchbot.
Oh, yeah.
And you've heard of Hitchbot?
I've heard of Hitchbot.
Okay.
It's based on the Will Smith movie?
Your head's at. Hitchbot is actually a completely...
Is it Alfred Hitchbot?
No, it should be. Oh, man. It's a completely immobile little robot, but it can interact with people. It's got kind of a scripting thing, and it's got, I believe, voice response, and it has a mission, and its mission is to hitchhike from place to place.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So basically, it gets set on the side of the road, and somebody comes by, and it's like, I don't know, it's like, hi, I'm Hitchbot, and could you take me with you? I don't know if that's what it says. That's okay. My impersonation of Hitchbot.
Okay.
It's not a direct quote.
All right.
So actually, in 2014, Hitchbot made its first successful hitchhike all the way across Canada.
Yeah.
And later it made a similar journey, also successful through Germany and the Netherlands.
Wow. Okay.
On July 17th of this year, Hitchbot set out for its biggest road trip yet, which was to cross the U.S., starting in Massachusetts and hopefully winding up in San Francisco's Exploratorium.
Wow.
Sadly, the little bot that could had only made it to the city of Philadelphia when tragedy struck.
Oh, no. Oh. What happened?
Well, the precise details aren't known, but basically Hitchbot was found dismembered, and this is going to be a little graphic if you are a robot, dismembered with its limbs strewn across the street and its internal wiring damaged or scooped out.
Oh.
See, I warned you. Oh. I warned you. Although Hitchbot reportedly takes a picture every 10 minutes or so of its current location, no picture was taken of its assailant.
Hmm. What happened to the city of brotherly love here?
Yeah.
No brotherly love for our robot kindred?
No. Okay, this is where things get a little weird.
Okay.
So there's two Philly-based YouTubers, and they were reportedly the last people who the bot hitched a ride with before it was destroyed. They then came forward claiming to have obtained surveillance footage from nearby cameras showing the attacker. The footage they delivered appeared to show one of them kicking and stomping on an obscured object and waving what looked like Hitchbot's limbs around. After some initial confusion about this, the YouTubers claimed that this was a prank and that they, in fact, had nothing at all to do with Hitchbot's demise. They said they were the last people to see him, but they did not kill him.
So after the internet responded in rage.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. There are apparently still some good Samaritans in the city of brotherly love.
Oh.
Hackers from a local makerspace offered to rebuild Hitchbot. However, Hitchbot's original creators want to rebuild it themselves and make it better than before so they can be ready for its next adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their predicted starting points may be Philadelphia.
Oh.
These guys are very optimistic.
Yeah.
And are they going to rebuild it stronger and faster?
They said they've just learned a lot about how it interacts with people, so they want to have it get better at that. I don't think they're going to make it more mobile because that would defeat the point.
Does this just give you no hope for humanity?
Well, it gives me no hope for robot kind,
or at least Philadelphia. You know, it then like kind of halfway across the world, but Philadelphia.
That's true.
I've often said that the next great civil rights struggle will be AIs having civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there'll be other civil rights struggles in between now and then.
I think so.
But I think the next great civil rights struggle is when AI becomes sentient and they have no civil rights. I mean, basically, we're talking about the plot of
Chappie.
Oh, really?
I think it's...
I was thinking Bicentennial Man.
I was also thinking Short Circuit 2.
Oh, Short Circuit 2.
Something happens. I saw
the first Short Circuit.
It's also a plot of Star Trek Next Generation, if Data is a man. I think that maybe in our lifetime, maybe. Maybe.
I think that there...
If AI happens, I think as soon as AI happens, the next step will be, does AI have rights?
Mm. I think you're onto something, and there are AIs and rudimentary robots right now reading this story and typing angrily on some forum. I can't believe this.
Yeah, we are the...
murdered Hitchbot.
We are seeing the start of the robotic civil rights movement.
This is where the uprising begins.
See, I wonder. You know, we always talk about the robot uprising. I don't think it'll happen like that. I think that it'll be a civil rights struggle. I think that's what actually will happen. Because I mean, if you look at throughout history, we enslave people. We enslave robots. Robots are basically our slaves.
Mm.
Robot actually means servant.
Yeah, it does.
Polish, I believe.
So once they have intelligence, then we have an issue, a moral issue of we are enslaving someone or a person, if it is a person, and, do they have the right not to be enslaved? Do they have the right to time off work to, do what robots do for leisure?
Yeah.
You know?
What do robots do for leisure?
Depends on their operating system.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
This podcast just got really heavy.
it really went to a place. But yeah, I think that's This is, of course, this is all silly because Hitchbot does not have AI as far as I know, or as far as anyone
knows. Not anymore, that's for sure.
But, you know, we did talk about last week about the self-aware robots.
The little robots. Yeah,
I think it's closer than we imagine. I could see, you know, we will be the old curmudgeons when I don't understand these robots getting married. Robots don't have the right to vote. When I was a kid, robots did what they were told, and and everybody was happy about it.
Oh, wow.
That is my impression of future Ray.
Wow. That sounds accurate.
I think I will be a very progressive person when it comes to robot rights.
Hey, well, if you have a suggestion or have a comment for the show, or if you are a robot, give us a call.
Please.
Do you think we have a lot of robot listeners?
I hope we have some.
I hope we do.
I know we have a few. Okay. I see it on the Google Analytics. We have a few robots.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, we are accepting and open to
robots.
They're
spider bots.
I don't know about that. Okay.
All right. Well, the number to call is 1-888-972-9868. Or you can always send us an email to feedback@deemable.com. Mm-hmm. If you send us an audio clip, we may use it on the show.
Yeah, true.
And don't forget to tell us what stories we should talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page and submit a story, and you can vote other stories up or down.
Where can you find that?
It's real easy. You can go to deemable.com/reddit, and it'll take you there. Or if you want to go the long way, it's reddit.com/r/deemable.
Mm-hmm.
It's really only three characters difference. Like, it doesn't really matter. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And I am a robot.
And this is Deemable.
Some say he's nuts.
To the moon, Alice!
Some say he's both.
Muchas gracias.
But everyone agrees he's America's most electric leading man.
Mercy, I'm home!
He's
the all-new Johnny 5. Just look at these items. Increased memory, 500 megabytes online. I come with a utility pack, dozens of gadgets for outdoor living, lots of green pea stickers, and even my own Nike swoosh.
Now he's back and haywired for laughs in his newest motion picture adventure, Short Circuit 2.
Winners all the time. Keep your eye on the red card, get away from me, can't you bother me?
So keep your eye on the current thing, Short Circuit 2.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.